18:14-22. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brethren, brothers. You must listen to him. This is what you ask the Lord your God for on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God or see his great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from amongst their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words, and the prophet speaks in my name, I will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You may say to yourself, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? In what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true. This is the message of the Lord that has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid. There ends the reading.
To start off the year, we've been doing a series on God's call. Through the story of Samuel, we asked the question, how do you respond to God, to God's call in your life? Samuel responded by saying, speak, your servant is listening. Everyone has a calling from God, because God has made everyone with a purpose, and God calls everyone forth into that purpose. So every Christian has a calling from God, and no two people will have the exact same calling. God has a privilege and a responsibility for you to take on, a ministry for you, so that you can be a blessing to other people, and in particular, be a blessing to the people of God. And then last week we asked the question, how would you respond if God asked you to do something, called you to do something you don't want to do? Jonah was a prophet who initially ran away from God when he asked him to do something he didn't want to do. But having received the love and forgiveness and grace of God, he decides that he will obey the call of God simply because it was God who was asking him to do it. Are you willing to do something you really wouldn't want to do or don't want to do for the only reason that it is God who is asking and calling you to do it? This week we're continuing to look at the call of God, and this time the call of God which comes to us through others. We don't just hear God's call when he speaks to us directly. We are also to hear God's call through others as they pass on to us God's call for us. Here's a question. Why do we have the words of the prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the other dozens recorded in the Bible, and not many, many more? Why is that so? Now you might say, because these are the prophets God sent to his people. And you'd be right. But why these prophets? And why didn't Why haven't the words of others who claim to be prophets been recorded in the Bible? And you might well reply to this. What other prophets? Were there any others who claimed to be prophets? Or, if you know that there were, because the other prophets were false. How did the Israelites know who to listen to? How did the Israelites know whose words were to be recorded so they would be passed down in the scriptures? In Jeremiah 14, verses 13 to 14, we read these words. Our sovereign Lord, the prophets keep telling them you will not see the sword or suffer famine. Indeed, you will give lasting peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divination and idolatry, and the delusions of their own minds. You see, there were many prophets, or so-called prophets, in Judah at the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was just one of the many. And his message was different to most of the others. So who was Israel to listen to? How did it come to pass that we have Jeremiah's words recorded for us and not some of these others? Jeremiah was trying to tell the people that God was going to judge them at a time when not many believed him. In fact, God, right from the beginning of Jeremiah's calling, told him that no one was going to believe him. But he was to speak to them the word of God anyway. Well, in our Bible reading this morning from Deuteronomy 18, God is explaining through Moses how he's going to lead the people after Moses has died. God promises that he will raise up prophets who will lead Israel. Just like Moses, they will speak the word of God to his people. Someone such as Jeremiah. The Israelites are to listen to the words of these prophets as if God himself were speaking. And if anyone didn't listen to them, God said he would call them to account. God sets out that Israel is not to follow the practices of other nations in determining the will of God or the will of the gods. God will not speak to people who are seeking out God's direction by them saying and doing the correct magic words and actions. Rather, God will choose someone from time to time, and he will speak to them for them to pass on messages. Messages to either a particular person, to a group of people, to a city, or to the whole nation. But of course, there's not this problem here. Anyone can say, God has spoken to me, and I have a message he wants me to pass on to you. And that this is specifically the problem which God is speaking about in Jeremiah 14. People claiming to be prophets, but who are not. So again, how are the Israelites to know? How are they to know if a message has come from God or not? Well, God explained this to Moses and the Israelites in Deuteronomy 18:22, where God says, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of Yahweh does not take place or come true, that is a message Yahweh has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. So ultimately, the reason why the words and actions of the great prophets such as Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel have been recorded as reliable from God because they were, because what they said would happen did happen as they said it would happen. And the other so-called prophets have been shown to be false because what they said did not happen as they said it would happen. Now this is well and good for us in hindsight, and for those who have lived after Jeremiah's time. But what about those people who were hearing the two conflicting messages? One saying God will bring judgment on the kingdom of Judah, and the other saying God will not and will give lasting peace. How would they to know who to listen to? And this is particularly important to know, since God instructs them in Deuteronomy 18 verse 19, telling them that if anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call them to account. So is there another way of knowing which prophet they should listen to? And there is another way. And if that message of the prophet aligns with what God has already established. And this is how the people of Jeremiah's day should have known to listen to him and not to others. In Deuteronomy 8, God sets out that if the Israelites live in accordance with God's decrees, then they will prosper. But if they don't live in accordance with God's decrees, he will bring judgment. They were to be God's special people who lived his way. The false prophets were claiming that God would not bring calamity on his special people, no matter what they did, no matter how they lived. But that's not what God said in Deuteronomy 8. What Jeremiah said lined up with Deuteronomy 8. What the false prophet said did not. So what God was passing on to the Israelites through Jeremiah was what specifically he was really unhappy about in the way the Israelites were living. And he was also delivering them some details about the coming judgment that he said would happen. Times, places, how it would happen, what it would be like. But of course, people didn't want to hear that, so Jeremiah was largely ignored. It was only after Jerusalem was sacked and Judah defeated that the people realized they should be listening to the whole time. So Jeremiah was one of these prophets who had come after Moses. But of course, the ultimate one who Moses was talking about a prophet who would come after him, who would be like him, is of course Jesus. We are reminded of the words which God speaks at Jesus' transfiguration. The transfiguration just means when Jesus' glory was fully revealed, and that happened to Peter, James, and John while they're on the mountain with Jesus. And these words are similar to the ones God spoke at Jesus' baptism. So this is what God said. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. And so we listen to Jesus most of all in knowing God's call for the church. And everything that comes from God not only has to align with scriptures, but particularly with Jesus. And of course, a further confirmation comes from God, which we see in Jesus, is the performing of genuine miracles. And like Jesus, some prophets did do miracles. Elijah and Elisha, for instance. But not all prophets have to do miracles. Their words only have to come true. So, there are two key ways to know whether you should listen to someone who claims to have a message from God. First of all, is it in line with what God has already established? Does it line up with the scriptures and in particular with Jesus? And do they have a track record of getting things right? It's important to note here that there is a clear distinction between the Old Covenant established through Moses and the New Covenant established through Jesus. In the Old Covenant, only select people were chosen by God to have the Holy Spirit come upon them so that they could hear from God. But in the New Covenant, every Christian has been given the Holy Spirit to live within them. We can all hear from God. God's Spirit speaking to our spirit. And what this means is that God can speak to you, which is why you can hear the call of God in your life. But there are many Christians claim to have heard God speak to them, or to know God's call, some of whom I really doubt they ever did. For instance, I heard a number of Christian leaders proclaim that Donald Trump would remain the President of the United States following the 2020 election. Not what happened. So they did not hear correctly from God, that message. Now, as you know, it can be very hard to accurately hear and discern God's voice and call. And I find this particularly difficult when I really want something to happen. I've always thought that the most difficult time for me to discern God's direction or his call is when I really want something to happen, or I really prefer one option over another. It's difficult in that circumstance to try and figure out if it's just me who wants it, or if it's God leading me. And that not wanting to be a minister, as I shared with you last week, made it easy to know that God was calling me to be a minister because it went against what I wanted. But I knew deep down that that's where I was going. But I think it's easy to fool ourselves into believing God has spoken to us or placed a call on our lives when we desperately want it to be true. And I think many people mistake sudden strong feelings or sudden profound thoughts as the voice of God. I have had many sudden strong feelings about situations which have not come true, and many profound thoughts which have come to my mind but which have not come to pass. And so I place very little trust in such things. But I think a lot of Christians do place trust in these two things. And I think the Christian leaders who predicted Donald Trump would remain president were victims of this. They wanted it to be true so much that they convinced themselves it was true. And I think we can all be susceptible to this. But on the other hand, I do know people who, when they proclaim something is coming from God, they have a great track record. One such person is the person who told me, "I only claim to have one spiritual gift, and that is the gift of discernment. You are going to become a minister." And that's the words of Gary Garnier, our now presbytery minister, who was at the time my minister at Mount Isa after having met me for a few days. Since then, time and time again, I have seen our presbytery minister be proven right in his discernment. even when I thought he was wrong. When it comes to Gary, he's a bit of a tough pill to swallow. He's right. So I've learned to trust his discernment in knowing God's call for the church. Someone who proclaims things from God which come true shows that they have learned what the voice of God sounds like as he speaks to them to their spirit. Part of knowing God's call in our lives is to listen to messages God passes on to us from others. Another thing to listen to is still a crucial part of hearing God's call for us in his church. God still to this day raises up people who are gifted at hearing and discerning his voice and his call. We can know who they are by first checking that what they are saying is in line with the scriptures, and particularly with Jesus his son. And secondly, by checking someone's track record. If someone has a record of discerning correctly God's direction and call, then their words should be taken with appropriate weight. But what's better than one person who can hear the call of God? Two people who have a track record of hearing the call of God, and many more. The more we gather together gently, and sometimes a good thing. It's like our elders' council, the more we come together in groups to discern God's will, because it's even better. It's even a better way of discerning God's call and will for the church when we come together to hear what he's got to say to us. In any case, let us hear the call of God in our own lives. And for those whom God speaks to us through, taking seriously what God says, and being willing to listen and respond with obedience to his call on us and in our lives. Amen.